Give him some praise this morning like you're about to get something. Give him some praise like you're about to get something. You're about to get something. Malachi chapter number 3, verse 8. Bind on a dime, you may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We thank God. We thank God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God for this chance. Amen, amen. Perhaps one of the most terrifying subjects that we can bring before God's people is when we begin to talk about tithes and offerings. When you begin to talk about tithes and offerings, it seems as though it shifts the spirits of people.
Amen.
As though what people think is that somebody is after them, trying to get something. And maybe you have a reason for thinking that way. Because the truth be told, perhaps most of the times in which pastors present tithes and offerings, it's presented from such a selfish place. Mm-hmm. So by definition, tithing comes from the Greek word, which is dekumus. It has to do with where we get the English word decade, meaning a tenth or ten. So in essence, in the Old Testament, what God was saying was everything that is from your spoil, everything that you earn, he says, I want you to give a tenth on that. Mm-hmm. But we somehow today, we flipped it. And we have flipped it in a way in which we begin to see all the negative parts about tithes and offerings.
Uh-huh.
All
right.
So I thought it would be much easier this morning to tell you what tithes and offerings are not, instead of telling you what they are.
Okay.
Now, tithes and offerings is not a piggy bank for a pastor. It's not a place where you bring your tithes and offerings, and whenever the pastor wants to buy a suit and a Cadillac and anything else that he wants to buy, he just go and get it. That's not what it's about. That's not what it is. It is not a piggy bank for a pastor. At the same time, it is not your savings plan, because you can't manage your money at home. You come to the church and then you want the church to bail you out. If the church is not bailing me out, it sure should not be bailing you out. You ought to say amen right there. Don't you hate it? Maybe you don't. I hate it when people who come to church don't support the church is always in line for the tither money. I can't take Ray money and give it to Sue over here if she's not putting anything in it. So while the sun is shining and you got your health and strength, you're a seed into the kingdom of God. It is not for the pastor any more than it is not for you. It is not a scare tactic that the pastor should be using. If you don't pay your tithes and offering, then God's going to do this, and God's going to hit the God ain't going to do none of that stuff. Not none of it. If you don't pay your tithes and offering, God says you're cursed. That's the end of it. I don't know how you preach on a curse. You simply curse. Nobody has to preach on that because you feel that. So that's not the tactic that God is giving us, for we can scare one another. At the same time, from you to me, it's not a scare tactic for you to say, well, I don't like what's going on in the church, so I won't give anymore. I thank God for Tony Banks' ministry. I thank God that I don't need a check from Life Changing. I thank you for it, but I don't need it. Tithing has nothing to do with anyone other than you and God. That's a personal thing that we deal with. So because it's a personal thing, God blesses the individual based off what he sees. And so if you see nothing, then you receive nothing.
Yes, sir.
Now, in the book of Malachi, they're dealing with this issue where people were robbing God. They were withholding from God what was rightfully his. Mm-hmm. And so now God says to Malachi, he says, I want you to tell the people to bring the tithe.
Yes.
Now, if he say bring them, that implies that you got to go out and get them.
Uh-huh.
What that implies as well is that you have to be in the marketplace, i.e. you have to have a job.
Yes.
You have to have a job is what God is saying to you. But then you have to view your job beyond being a job to understand that God is not placing you somewhere 40 hours, 50 hours a week just so you can work. It's not just the job, it's the ministry.
Yeah.
I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
So he says, bring the tithes. He says, bring it into the storehouse. Remember the Great Commission says you have to go ye, you got to go out and teach. In other words, when you're at your job, your lifestyle should be the teaching, should be the example.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't be cursing folks out on Monday, talking about you just went to church yesterday. You can't be stealing from no folks, talking about you on your way to church on Wednesday night.
Yeah.
So he says your lifestyle should be an example to people.
Yes.
So he says, bring the tithes into the storehouse. Now, in biblical days, they didn't have banks. They had what was called exchanges. So every temple or church had a finance room, or that was the bank. And so the responsibility of the people was to bring the tithes into the storehouse. When you bring the tithes into the storehouse, God is saying, it is in the church. I'm going to mess you up. It is in the church that the church is responsible for the people.
Uh-huh.
Watch this. That's why the welfare program will never work.
Amen.
The welfare program cannot work because when you get on welfare, which is fine if that's where you have to be for a short period of time, but don't live there. 15 years later, you still on welfare. 20 years later, you still can't get a job. Do you realize this? That from January to April the 1st, even though you work, all your money for those months goes to pay taxes. From January 1st to April 1st, all those days you spent working, you get none of that money. It all goes to taxes. So the money goes to taxes. Now we want the welfare program, which is administered by the government, to work where God says, Ruth and Naomi, show me a welfare plan. Show me how the church is supposed to take care of its people. So when people in the church go down, the church should have enough that they can take care of its own people.
Yeah.
So we won't give God what he deserves, but we'll allow government to take it in 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
And God is saying, will a man rob God?
Yeah.
Then you walk out the front door and say, God, where's my blessing? And he says, where's your seed? If you give me a seed, I'll give you a harvest.
Yeah.
If you trust me, I'll do the supernatural for you. But you got to first release unto God.
Jesus.
So he says, bring it to the storehouse. They bring it to the storehouse and listen to what God says. God says, so there may be meat in my house. Everything that you do regarding your tithes and offerings is so that there may be meat. M-E-A-T. Meat in the storehouse. If you're attending a church and there's no meat in the church, leave.
All right.
It concerns me. It bothers me.
Jesus.
When people go to church, and as soon as church is over, you complaining about church.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, crazy! Stop going. Do you know that it's over 2,100 churches in the Tri-City area? Find one. 2,100 churches in the Tri-City area. Don't go to church, walk away from church, and lose your blessing by opening your mouth. Be careful what you say. You know the Bible says, touch not thy anointed and do thy prophet no harm. It's just not talking about people that is anointed. It's talking about God's stuff. You leave God's business alone. God know how to take care of his business. God know how to fend for himself. God doesn't need you to talk about other folks and talk about the church in order for him to look good. God is God.
Yes, he is.
He says, bring it to the storehouse, that there may be meat. The M in meat is for message. Okay. If you're in a church and you're not getting a message from being there, that's not your place.
Jesus.
The Bible declares, how can you hear unless there's a preacher?
Uh-huh.
Every preacher can't connect to you.
That's right.
That's okay. That's right. It doesn't mean the church is bad. It just means he does not know how to communicate with you. Find a church that can. Listen, we have to, as preachers, get beyond, I want to increase in the church.
Right.
No, I want to increase in the kingdom of God. I'd rather for you not to attend life changing, but I see you in heaven, than you to attend life changing all out of the will of God, causing all kind of problems here. If this is not for you, move on. Find a place for you where you can freely worship, where you can serve God. There must always be a message that is being released from God's house. The message, the word, is the meat that God is referring to. If you go to church and you're not getting a word, why are you going? There's a word that could be received. God gives them praise and worship. Praise and worship is not about music. It's about ministry. So there's one word being released there. Then somebody else come and they smile. There's another ministry. Something else is being released. You got to preach word. If you come into church and everything that's going on in God's house and you get nothing, I don't think anything wrong with all of us. Don't you think? And meat. The E is elements. In other words, the tithes are to be used for the purpose of the storehouse as well. When you come to life changing and the lights are off, not because we turn them off, but because Georgia Power turned them off, we got a problem here. When every time you need something from your church, we got to sell you who's been tithing in the church. Take your money, buy some chicken, and then sell it back to you again? Are we not double dipping in the church? It seems to me, if God says, bring the tithes and the offering into the storehouse, if you tithe, that's all we need. We ain't got to sell no fish. We ain't got to sell no chicken. We ain't got to sell no wrapper chicken. We ain't got to ask him for nothing extra. As a matter of fact, when we do something that life-changing, we tell you, come on, because the money is in the storehouse. When your job is ready to go in Justin, go anywhere, we tell you, come on, because the money is in the storehouse. That's how God got us rolling around here. Give him some praise. And the A is for assistance. I'm being human, but I'm teaching guys. Going somewhere. The A is assistance. The assistance is the church is supposed to take care of the widows, orphans, everybody who can't take care of themselves. We have an obligation to you.
Yes.
So We put on the back wall back here a benevolent. And say, here, you're going through something? Just fill it out. But now, you can't fill out the benevolent and expect nobody to check up on you. Because God don't have stupid children. You can't be throwing yours away and then come to the church and say, well, I can't pay my power bill. But you took the power bill money and you went down there gambling with it. We're not responsible for the power bill. But now if you faithful in church and you just fall on bad times and you just going through something, what kind of church will we be if we tell you we can't help you? If you going through something and you've been faithful here, you begin to go through, we have a duty and an obligation and count it a privilege that we can step in and we can help God's people. We have to assist one another. That's the duty. That's the responsibility of the church. See, my point is, you don't just give your tithes and offering and we just throw them out the window. There's some things that need to be done with that. There's some responsibilities that the storehouse has. And the last one, the T, and that is to make sure that when you tithe, you're tithing into a church that is a Thanksgiving church.
Right.
You know, sometimes you go to church and folk don't want you to praise God.
Yeah.
Don't want you to give thanks to God. Let me tell you something. There is nothing that is more important than when you get in an atmosphere of praise and worship, you better get it out. Don't you hate it? And every time you start shouting, somebody fan you. Every time you start shouting, somebody tell you to be quiet. You don't know the hell I've been through. I've been looking for God. I've been trying to get in His presence. And here I am. So if you break my car out, I need to give Him some praise. You don't know what I've been through. I need to praise Him. You don't know what's on my heart. I need to worship the Lord. You don't know the things that people are going through. You gotta praise the Lord. I don't care how long it takes. You let them praise the Lord. That there may be meat, M-E-A-T, meat in my house. And then he says, listen, I've taken care of the house. You've done what you're supposed to do. He says, if somebody come against you, because you know every time you get in the right place, here come Mr. Wrong. Every time your spirit is right, here comes somebody trying to quench your spirit. Every time you move into the presence of God, here comes somebody telling you what John said about Jack and what Jack said about Leah. I don't care what they say. God says, listen, when you get in my presence and you begin to give me some praise, He says, now I dwell in the praise of my people. So when you begin to praise Him, God says, I hear somebody talking about me. I gotta show up and see what they gotta say about me. In the midst of going through something, I dare you to begin to talk about Him instead of who shot John. When you begin to talk about Him, He steps in. He says, what you want me to do? You call my name, I heard you. Here I am. Tell me what you need. I am. There I am. What you need God to be for you? He says, I am that. But here they come. And you'll always have the debars. You'll always have those who's trying to quench the Holy Spirit. And God says, I'll take care of that. He says, what I'll do, He says, I'll open up the windows of heaven. In other words, what He's saying is that when I open up the windows of heaven, He says, everything in your life that seemed to be blocked or dry, He says, I'll do it all over again. Windows or doors in the Bible represents opportunity. You know, when you start walking one way and somebody lie on you, God says they thought they had you, but I changed that plan. I blocked that. You know, when you get yourself in the right place and folk begin to hate on you, and when they begin to hate on you and they want to stop you, God says, don't worry about that. I'll take care of you. Sometimes in life you feel like you're stuck, and when you feel like you're stuck, God says, no, I'm going to open up the windows. In other words, I'm I'm going to give you another opportunity and another opportunity and another way out and another way out and another opportunity. Have you ever tried God? Won't God open some doors in your life? Have you ever tried God? When God begins to move in your life, God says, I'll open up some doors. When God opens doors, man can share it. But when God opens doors, you better believe your name is on it. When God opens doors and God bless you, you better believe ain't no devil in hell take your blessing. Because when God has for you, it's for you. And so God is saying, if you just do what I ask you to do, if you'll just do what I'm asking you to do. See, at the core of tithes and offerings is obedience.
Yes.
Do you trust me?
Yes.
God, I can't hardly make it. But if you give me a tip, watch me take the tip and watch me put some love in it. And watch me step on it. And watch me thrust it back. And watch me somehow supernaturally give you an increase. Have you ever been at a place? Checkbook was saying something else, and that bills was due past due, and God stepped in your situation, and God said something else. Won't God change your situation? Won't God open the door? See, the thing that I love about God is that God don't ask for everything. He says, I just want you to take an envelope. He says, can you just give me a tip?
Yeah.
He says, every time, if you want something, he says, I'll do it on a dime. Yeah. Every time.
Yeah.
He says, all I need is just a tip. See, he says, if you'll take the envelope and take just 10 pennies, or 10 dimes, he says, whenever Satan comes against you, just...
Mama.
Yeah. He says, every time something come against you, he said, put that dime on it. Because he can't take that dime. Every time your checkbook goes out, he said, put that dime on it. Every time your health goes out, he said, put that dime on it. Every time they lie on you, he said, put that dime on it. Every time you think you got no pass the test, he said, put that dime on it. Every time you think you are unemployed and he can't make a way out of no way, he said, put that dime on it. They gave you a picture and your way is over. Put that dime on it. And every time they come against you, he said, put another dime on it. And every time you want to increase, he said, put a dime on it. And watch him open up your windows of heaven. Put a dime on it. That's my challenge today, is that every time you begin to go through something, all you got to do is stay obedient to his word. When you be obedient to God, God will stay true to you. Have you ever been going through something and everybody walked out and God walked in? Have you ever been going through something, your phone stopped ringing, and then all of a sudden God started talking? See, sometimes God needs to clear everybody from around you, because sometimes folks in your family telling you the wrong thing, and God is saying, but I'll be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When you feel like you're all alone, God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. In the midst of going through something, God says, if you put a dime on it, I'll give you an escape. When you put a dime on it, he says, another opportunity just pops open. So you used to be going through stuff and say, oh, this is the end. Satan is going to kill me. And then God begins to speak to you. And he shows you that what somebody meant for evil, won't he make a way out of it? Won't he turn your situation around? I need to talk to you about 20 folks here this morning that you've been going through something of late. I'm not talking about a last year thing. I'm talking about a this week blessing. I'm talking about a this month blessing. And God turned that thing around. Don't you feel like giving them some praise when God sets you free? Don't you feel like giving some praise when folks say you were stuck? Don't you feel like giving some praise when everybody say that God that you serve, he ain't gonna do nothing, and then God stuck in? And when God stuck in, will he show out? Come on and give him some praise this morning and run the devil right out of here. Come on and give him some sanctified praise this morning and run the devil out of here. Come on and give him some praise this morning. Tell Satan, he gotta leave, because I'm